Kof Vov Adar, Tuesday the 13th of March, Rabbi Ari Tumim, first come, first served. We wish Mazel Tov to David Barry and his family on the chasna this afternoon of his oldest son Yoni.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here again. Another occasion I feel very much like the chazan who was invited back for a second time until someone said to him, give me your chance to get it right. The topic for today's shiur was prompted by an incident that occurred on Yom Kippur in Shul. I'll relate the incident and then we'll explore some halachic sources and then compare and contrast and see what we come out with. So the incident took place in Shul on Yom Kippur during Kriyas HaTorah. During the course of Kriyas HaTorah, the Sefer Torah they were learning from was found to be possible. In the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you do? There were only two Sefer Torah in that shul. There was one for the Kriyas HaYoyim and one for the Maftir. So the second Sefer Torah was available. So they used the Sefer Torah, the second Sefer Torah. They carried on the Kriya from where they left off, which is what I'm supposed to do, finish off. And then they laid the Maftir from the same Sefer Torah. As if you only had one Sefer Torah. Now the question arose, who gets Hagbah? It's sold off the Alias, it's sold off the Hagbahs, it's sold off Hagbah Sefer Rishon, and it's sold off Hagbah Sefer Sheni. Two people had bought Hagbah, who do you give it to? On the one hand, one could say, the first fellow bought the first Hagbah, second fellow bought the second Hagbah, now there's only one Hagbah, so the first guy gets the first one, and the second one doesn't get anything. On the other hand, you could say, no, the guy bought the Hagbah after Maftir, he's the second fellow. The first guy bought the Hagbah after the first Kriya, but we can't do Hagbah after the first Kriya now. So, what do you do? Now, there are a number of perhaps comparable cases in Halacha. The first thought that came to my mind was the Oz Sameach, the famous Oz Sameach. In the Sefer on the Rambam, he actually there relates an incident that took place. If I remember correctly, Tov Reish Lehem Gimel 1883, he says that year, excuse me, I lost my voice a little bit. People at the back might want to change to the people at the front, or the people at the front might want to move to the back. I don't know. I'm okay for the moment, thank you. So, the Oz Sameach relates that year, Rosh Chodesh Ador was a Shabbos. And therefore there were three Sefer Torah. It was Parshas Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh, and also Parshas Shavuot. You take that three Sefer Torah. The first one was, and what do? You lain, when you have three Sefer Torah, what you do is, you lain Parshas Shavuot, normally you have seven Aliyos. But when you have three Sefer Torah, you only lain six Aliyos in the Parshas Shavuot. And then the seventh one is Rosh Chodesh, and the Maftir would be the Parshas Shkolim. Now it would appear they had a kibbud similar to Shishi, which they used to auction off. And one gentleman for the year had bought all the aliyahs. It wasn't Shishi, it was the aliyah lifnei achroin. The last aliyah, the second last aliyah. And he bought that aliyah for the year. They sell a simple story, they sell out for the year. And one gentleman had bought that. And there was another gentleman who had bought all the chazaks. And if ever there's a sefer being finished, chazak, that was his aliyah. That year, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was pikudim. Chazak. So it comes out that the shishi of Parshas HaShavuah was also chazak. So the Oz Sameach was faced with who gets this aliyah. Do we say the gentleman has bought the Aliyah Lifnei Achroin, now this is Aliyah Lifnei Achroin? Or do we say that Chazak, who do we give it to? So the Oysmeh there says, initially he wanted to compare it to a halacha which is brought in Choshevish, but in Shulchan Aruch. You have a shul, you have everyone sitting on the bench, and now at the top of the bench we're adding another place. Does the person sitting there have a right to object or not? And the Shulchan Aruch actually brings a Tshuva Sarosh who says, one does have a right to object. The Achroinim discusses a steer in Tshuva Sarosh. When does he have a right? When does he have a right to? But then the Oysmeh says, this case is not comparable. Why? He says as follows. B'shas they were selling the aliyahs. When they sold the aliyahs, they knew very well that such a situation is scheduled to arrive. We have a calendar. We know it's this year. We know what's happening during the year. We know that there's going to be a clash between the Shishi and the Chazak. So b'shas they were being sold, we were aware of this clash. It's not a new development that happened in the course of the year. So now, when we were selling the aliyahs, what did we do? Because if you sold all the shishis first, so that shishi was included in the sale. If you sold all the aliyahs first, so he bought that one as well. If you sold all the chazaks first, so the guy bought all those chazaks, and now when you're buying the shishis, you're well aware that someone's got a prior, zechus, has got a first right before you. But he says, in this case, that's also going to help us. Because this year, the aliyahs weren't actually sold on Simchas Torah. There was a rolling understanding because the same people bought it as the previous year. And again, I was talking about Simchas Torah. And he said, yeah, the same people agreed to buy the aliyahs as of last year. So you can't say who was first. The deal was done, both at the same time. So no one got a prior right to the other. So now what do we do now? So the Oysmeh says, for this Shaila, he brought a riot from the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara Baba Basra is a little bit involved in the Sugya. I won't go into the whole Sugya, I just present a bit of background knowledge and a skeleton argument to understand what the Oysmeh's deduction was. And the Gemara in Baba Basra, they're discussing a person who has a piece of land, which has a land value, and also in that land, he has trees which are presumably income producing, and it's possible for a person to sell either land or to sell the trees off separately. He can retain a right. Now, when you have certain types of arrangements of trees, a certain quantity within a certain spread, it's understood that when you sell the trees, you're including the land that's around them, which is necessary for them to sell three. You don't know, it's a certain spread, it's a certain amount, but it's the deal when you sell trees is you're selling the land as well. So this person has the land, he has trees. Obviously, if he goes and sells the land to somebody, he sold the land. This gentleman went and sold the land to one person and the trees to another person. So the Gemara discusses who has what right now. Because there's a conflict here. Both people are vying for that same piece of land. They're both trying to grab that land. One person bought the land, he's also got a right to buy the land. The person who bought the trees inherently would also normally be included. But you sold the land to somebody else. So Gemara says that it's understood that the person who is buying the trees, is not buying the trees on the right, are going to be evacuated. He's not buying the trees with the intention that tomorrow, that the person who's bought the land is going to be able to kick him out and say goodbye. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, Ze kono ilonois v'chati karka, v'ze kono chati karka. This person, one person gets the trees, the person who bought the trees gets also part of the land, a right in order to be able to keep his trees established there, and the other person bought the land also has a right to buy the land. So he says, I see from this Gemara a principle that the person who bought the trees, he didn't really buy land specifically, but it's understood that if we can tie both people here, we're going to say the understanding is that you got trees and land as well. So Oysmeh says, what I'm going to say in this case is as follows. There's one person who's bought Chazak, and one's bought the Aliyah Lifnei Achroin. What I'm going to say is that the Aliyah Lifnei Achroin here means the Aliyah Lifnei Achroin of this Sefer Torah, of the Parshas HaShavua. The Parshas HaShavua, where we're learning only Shishi from now, I'm not going to say the Shishi is your Aliyah. It's going to be the Aliyah Lifnei Achroim of this Sefer Torah. You're going to get Chamishi, and he'll get his Chazak. And that way, we can give a balance to both people. So I understand from the Gemara of Basra that one can has a bit of a poetic license to extend the understanding of what the arrangement is if it can fit within the framework of the deal that was done.
What would happen if one of them had bought Shishi?
Right. We'll get to that in a minute. That was the case of the Osumiach. We're now going to move on to another discussion, and we'll come back to see how they're comparable or not. The Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Tkiyas Shofar. In Hilchos Tkiyas Shofar, the Shari Tshuva brings down a discussion in the Poskim. What happens when you have a scenario where we have a shul and we have two Baalei Tekeah? One gentleman, Reuven, is the Baal Tekeah on the first day, and Shimon is the Baal Tekeah on the second day. And the first day falls on Shabbos. Who is the Baal Tekeah on the second day? Do we say Reuven's always first and Shimon's always second? Or do we say, no, Reuven's always the first day and Shimon's always the second day? What happens? So, interestingly enough, he brings from the Tshuva's Ponemius, who says, it depends on the Yotzros. What do you do? Which Yotzros do you say on Shabbos? You say special Shabbos Yotzros. On the second day, Yom Tov, what Yotzros do you say? If you say, talk about on Sukkot or Pesach, when there's Shabbos Yotzros, there's a separate Shabbos Yotzros. So on the second day, Yom Tov, what do you say the Yotzros of the first day? Is it a raya that this is now considered like the first day because the Shabbos, or, you know, the second one is a machlokes has been hung in different mekomos, different places. So the feed and minig of the Malkim will be told on the Shari Tshuva takes exception to that. So you can't compare the Yotzros to this type of dispute where we have two people, each one's got his own right, each one's got his own he's got his own shlita, he's got his own claim to two different people who are claiming, each one's claiming his thing, you can't compare it. But that's the Tshuva's Ponemius. He brings the Tshuva's, a different Tshuva, a different person, Tshuva's Ohan Nela, who says, the first guy gets it, he says, why? He says, he's following the Psak of the Mechaber. The Mechaber paskens that on Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tekeah makes Shechivan on the first day only. And not on the second day, there's no Shechiyonu. So, it says as follows, the person who is about to care on your mission, he's going to be the one making Shechiyonu. When Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, there's no Shechiyonu on the first day. On the second day, there is Shechiyonu. So he's got a right to be about to care and to make a Shechiyonu. So if so, the Baal Tekeah, Reuven, the first day Baal Tekeah, he's going to be the Baal Tekeah this year on the second day, in order that he can get his Shechiyonu. Again, the Shari Tshuva disagrees with that. And Shari Tshuva himself holds every Reuven gets the first day, Shimon gets the second day, regardless of the how the year falls, regardless of whether, in fact, Reuven did get an ability, that was able to blow on the first day or not. So that's the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Shofar with regards to Baal Tekeah. We move on to another discussion. Yes. Discussion between Rav Moshe Zaks, wrote Tshuva's Rav Moshe, in a letter to Rav Ezra Altshuler, wrote a sefer called Tchanas Ezra, they're arguing about the following shayla. There was three Moyalim in town, and there were three brisim to do punt all on the same day. And what they did was, they did a girl between themselves, which who would get which bris. First one got the first one, second one got, and the girl dried up. Unfortunately, before the bris actually took place, one of the children was nifta. There were only two brisim to be done now. And the shayla was, who, there's two brisim to be done, the three moelim, they spit it up, what do we do now? So he presents the following analysis. And he says as follows. He brings a discussion on the Shari Tshuva about the Baalei Tekeah. And he presents the following argument. And he says, when we divide things up between two people, we have to understand what is the division. What are we saying? Are we saying, we've got two things here, we don't know who to give, we've got two people, we've got A and B, and we've got Reuben and Shimon. How do we divide it up? We do a girl, arbitrarily we'll decide, you get that, and it's a split. And each one's got his own thing. Or, do we say that we've got two people here? One is Rosh Hashiva, and the other is also a Choshev fellow, and he's a Baltakia. We can't say no to him either. So therefore, okay, we'll get the Rosh Hashiva go first, and then we'll give the other fellow, we'll give him also a chance. So, he says, if the division is done in such a way, which is a way which just allows us to divide as a form of division, so there's no hechreach, no reason to say that one is first, one is second. But where we deliberately giving priority to one over the other, so then one is first and the other one is second. So he says, in the case of the Balei Tekea, if the tzibur had chosen one fellow to blow on the first day, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We want this fellow, he's extremely choshuv, we extremely want to honor him, we want him, we understand that he should be the one beat Balei Tekea on the first day. So fine. So then, that gentleman is chosen to be the first Balei Tekea. And the other gentleman is the second one. So if the first day falls on Shabbos, the second one will have to give way to the first one. Why? Because the first one is first, and the second one is second. But were it to be that we have two Balei Tekea, and they're both essentially of equal stature. And there's no reason, essentially, why we would have to give priority to one over the other. But they can't both blow at the same time. So fine, so we divide that. One gets the first day, one gets the second day. And essentially, each one has been Zoicha, it's been a division. You get that, and what each one has, that's what he's got. So he says, in the case of the Moyalin, that's been divided up by a girl, each one got one, two, three. It's not there's a first, a second, and a third. It says, even if the third bris would have taken first, would take place, if you had Reuben's child, Shimon's child, and Levi's child, and one Moyal, first Moyal got Reuben's child, was allowed to be the bris for Reuben's child, and the second one for Shimon, and the third one for Levi's. If one reason or another, we'll have to do ladies' bris first. Yeah, it will still be the third male doing it. It's not because there's a first, there's a second, and there's a third here. It's because it's been divided up. We can't all do them. Each one has to have his division. So we'll give you X, we'll give you Y, you give you Z. You were unable to fulfill your part of the deal with X. Sure, too bad. Bad luck. Unfortunate. But that's the situation. It could well be, once we have this analysis, it could well be that we could extend that and we could go back to Shari Tshuva, and it's possible to say that the Poskim there are actually grappling with this idea. For example, the Tshuva's Orad Nela, he says that it's Toyal Shechionu. The Shechionu is a reason why we're saying there's significance to, thank you, there's a significance to the first day over the second day. We're saying there's a reason why one person is first and the second person is second. They're not just equally divided up. One is first and one is second. One has the Shechionu. And the same thing with the Marovas. We're trying to analyze, is there a first, is there a second, or is it arbitrarily that the first day, the second day, each one's own. It could actually be that under the scenes, behind the scenes, that's the idea they're actually grappling with. Now, another case, Shulz Chalkas Yaakov was asked, there was a matzah bakery, and two people each had, because there wasn't enough time to split it up between everyone to use it all the time, so one person had a zchus, or one group had a zchus, to use the matzah bakery to bake their matzahs on Shushan Purim, the day immediately after Purim. And there was one group who had the right to use the bakery on the first Sunday after Purim. And that year, the Shushan Purim, the day after Purim, was Shabbos. So that means the group who would normally bake on the Shushan Purim was unable to. And they wanted to bake on Sunday, but the group was on Sunday with the first Sunday after Purim. So now, He brings the Shai Tshuva, he brings the Oseh Meach that we discussed, the Shai Tshuva about the Tuba Litkeya, and the Oseh Meach. And he says as follows, the difference between the Shaila of this Oseh Meach, of the person who got the Aliyah of the Aliyah of the Achrid, and the person who got the Tuba Litkeya, what's the difference between these two Shailas? He says as follows. He says, in the case of the Tuba Litkeya, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, there's only going to be one person blowing shofar. The question is, who is that person going to be? But there's no two people going to be blowing shofar on that day. One Baal Tekeah, the Shaila is, who? In the Shaila of the Oseh Meach, the Oseh Meach questions, how can we be Mekayim both of them? Or do we say to one of them goodbye? Do we say that we're going to be forced here to have a reading to say that Aliyah Lifnei Achrin is really now the Chamishi, and that way we can make them both, give them both something? Or no, one of them has to be Nidcha. So essentially, the Shaila is different Shaila. The Oseh Meach Shaila is, can I find a way of making them both happy? Or do I have to say goodbye to one? In the Shaila, Truth Shaila, there's no way you can make them both happy. There isn't enough material for both. We can't divide it out. Shaila is, who do you mean? In my matzah bakery, Shaila says Chavos Yaakov, I can only make one guy happy. Only one guy can use his bakery on Sunday. There's only one team. So therefore, l'chayra, we're going to have to start looking into the Shai Tshuva and to see where we're going to end up with that Shai Tshuva. But he says no. He says, it's different to the Shai Tshuva Shaila as well. In the Shai Tshuva Shaila, we have two Balei Tekeah. One blows on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and one blows the second day of Shaila. What's the understanding, what's the analysis of the question here? The analysis of the question is as follows. What was each Baal Tekeah actually zeicha to? When a Baal Tekeah blows on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, what was his chus? Is his chus first day of Rosh Hashanah? Or is his chus to be the first Baal Tekeah? We're trying to understand what did we actually give him when we entitled him to blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Was it we gave him this day Rosh Hashanah? And therefore if this day is Shabbos, too bad? Or did we give him the right to be the first Baal Tekeah? And therefore, if the first Baal Tekeah is only on the second day, we're trying to understand, what did they get? Here, there's no question what they got. Each one's got a zchus. He got the first day after Purim, and he's got Sunday. We know, there's no question who came first, who came second. We know each one is entitled to the first day. He's entitled to that. There's no question of what they got. Yeah. The question is, we have a clash. Two people that have an equal chus of what to do, so we have a clash. So it's not comparable to either of those cases. So now, if you run through the points that we've discussed, we'll see that we end up with three divisions, three different categories of how to deal with such a clash. The first division is the Oseh Meach, when it's possible to say we can be Mekayim Shneim. We can stretch the understanding to say, you get a bit of trees and a bit of property. You get the Aliyah Lifnei Achrin of this Sefer. When we can get both in, that's one type of Shaila. The Chelkas Yaakov says, in the Matzah Bakery, it might be, this will be applicable here as well. Why? Because it could be, we'll say, the first day after Purim means the first available day after Purim. So if someone's baking on the Sunday after Purim, someone's using the oven, the Matzah oven on Sunday after Purim, so the first available day is now Monday. It might be we can stretch that here as well. We could apply the Oseh Meach. Like, where's the way of stretching the understanding in order to satisfy both of them? We're going to stretch the understanding. The second category is when we can't make everybody happy. It's impossible. There's not enough material here. It's one person is going to be goodbye, and one person is going to be, then what do we do? So then, if this Shaila is, what is the Zchus? Is the Zchus the first one, or is the schus of the second one? That means, the Shaila is, what did each guy get? Did he get the right to be first, or did he get what he got and finished? That's the question of the two Baalei Tekeahs. That's the question of the Moyalim. Who got, did they get the first child to be Moyal, or no? He got that child. If you're able to do meal on that child, fine. If not, not. If that is the shayla of the shayla tshuva, that's the shayla of the gromaz, the analysis, and we said a good svara that l'chayla, it depends on what the division was. Was it machmas chashivos to get the first, or was it an arbitrary division? And the second category is third category is again you can't make everybody happy, but it's clear what each person has claimed to. It's clear what each person is claiming. There's no question, no doubt about it. Yeah. For example, the question of shishi and chazak. What happens if it was clear the aliyah and the kibud is the shishi, not the aliyah lifnei achron? You can't use a get out of the Eis Sameach and say here the aliyah lifnei achron is chamishi. But it sold shishi to one person, and it sold chazak to one person, and there's a clear clash between the two, and you can't make them both happy, and we clear what was sold, you can't say the first or the second, it was shishi, chazak, then what do you do then? Then you'd have to redivide that between them with a girl or some other division. Going back to the original shayla. Going back to the original shayla of the hagba, the two hagbas were sold, and the maisa, when it came to it, there was only one hagba available. So you can't make them both happy. They're not going to say one guy do one hand and the other guy do the other hand. So you can't make. There's only going to be one hagba over here. So it's not relevant to Sameach. It's arguable that the question is, what was each one zeicher to? Was one zeicher to the first sefer Torah, and the other one zeicher to the second sefer Torah? Mamela, now this is the first sefer Torah. It's arguable, and that is the question. You were zeicher to this sefer Torah, the hagba. This was the second sefer Torah at the time. The person who bought the hagba was zeicher to that sefer Torah. But I would suggest another approach to the gabbai of the hagba, and that is the Gemara tells us at the end of Megillah that hagoyel as a sefer is notos chakulon. There's a scha. They're showing to say it means talking about the person who does hagba. The person who does hagba gets a scha. Connected all that is. Why is there a difference between the hagba of the first sefer and the hagba of the second sefer? So the hagba of the second sefer is getting the schar. Connected kulan has got a schar of connected the mafti. The gedol of the magbia of the first sefer is getting schar connected kulan of the first one. Now we have this scenario where we've got a hagba on a sefer Torah where the kriya which was done wasn't the first, wasn't the second. It was three and a half. It was whatever. It was three aliyas pasa mafti. So the chayra. A new product has become available on the market. The product that's available is not the product which was sold. He was sold the hagba azoy. Meisah, neither of these hagbas are available. There's a different hagba available. There's a new product available. You have to now resell it. Thank you very much for listening.
Were they happy?
What did they do?